On your mark, get ready, start.
Broadcasting from California and Delaware, this is the Hard Rocking Trivia Show, and here are your hosts, Mark and Danny.
Pounding the world like a battering ram.
All right, boys and girls in podcast land, it's time for another version of Rapid Fire, where we try to stump each other and with trivia questions. So let's get right to it. Mark, you ready?
I'm tired, but I'm ready.
Okay. All right. I've got a couple pretty easy ones. We'll see. How many Iron Maiden studio albums did Clive Burr play on?
I'm going to say three.
That is correct.
Yes. Three, yeah. Really good ones, too.
Yeah, he also played Made in Japan, but that was a live album.
Yeah. Okay, good one.
Yeah. Awesome, awesome albums. Everybody get those three.
I mean, everybody should have those three. If they don't, they're not a rocker or a metal guy.
It's amazing how many people reference Clive Burr as an influence.
Yeah, so why did Maiden get rid of him?
I don't know. I don't know if he was having health issues back then or what, but
maybe. I don't know, because I mean, Nico McBrain's awesome, but Clive Burr's awesome too.
Absolutely.
These men do not suck on drums. Yep.
They are not sucky drummers.
Right. Okay. Right. Here you go. Question one for you. What industrial metal band has a keyboard player who walks on a treadmill during their live performances?
That's Rammstein.
Correct.
Oh, I love those guys.
What a great live band that is. I haven't seen them yet, but every time I watch their stuff online, it's amazing.
Yeah, they came to Philly last year, and I thought, I got to go see them, but for some reason I couldn't. But they were headlining a big place, a place where the Sixers play.
Oh, okay. Cool.
But I think they need that kind of space for all the pyro.
Yeah, but they attract the people. The people know the show is awesome, and they come, even though they don't understand the words.
Du hast.
Good stuff.
All right. Question number two for you. How many gigs did Graham Bonnet play with MSG? She talks of the things and the places she wants to go. But she knows that she wants all the things she wants.
Honestly, I don't know. I'm going to guess one.
That is correct.
Really?
Yeah, he played one gig, and he was fired after playing a gig in Sheffield after drunkenly exposing himself on stage.
I had no idea. I know he didn't last long in Rainbow either, but I had no idea it was one.
He must be a mess, man.
Yeah. Good singer, though. I've seen him live a couple times. He's not bad.
Oh, yeah? With Alcatraz?
Yeah, I saw Alcatraz in their first L.A. show, and I saw him a couple more times with Alcatraz. But he just played here in the Ventura Theater, and I couldn't go. Check out this lineup. Yuli John Roth playing Scorpion stuff from the Tokyo tapes. Graham Bonnet, and then Frank Domino from Angel opening.
Oh, man.
And I couldn't go because I didn't have the funds.
Oh.
It sucks.
I might have sold a kidney or something.
Yeah, but just too busy here. Money's tight, so couldn't go.
Oh, well. And yeah, you can't go to everything. I'm trying to decide between the Maiden Ghost tour and the Metallica Volbeat and Avenged Sevenfold tour.
Both worth going to.
Oh, absolutely.
Cool.
Yeah, I've seen all those bands, but great, great tours this summer.
All right, you ready for this next one? This one's going to be a real tough one. But I'm going to name all these guys who've been in this band, and you got to tell me the name of the band.
Oh,
it's from the 80s. Okay, here's the guys in the band. A guy named Rocky Newton, Steve Mann, Jess Cox, the original lead singer of Tigers of Pantang, Dennis Stratton from Maiden, Frank Noon, the original Def Leppard drummer, and then later on, Ruben Archer replaced Jess Cox after one show. Les Binks from Judas Priest was in this band, and Clive Edwards from UFO was also in this band. Can you name the band?
Jeez. The only band I know that Dennis Stratton was in besides Maiden is Lionheart.
Correct.
Whoa, yes.
Yeah, a lot of guys in that band.
Yeah, really. But they were much poppier than Maiden was, that's for sure.
Yeah, they were definitely melodic. I just recently got a hold of those MP3s of that album. And I haven't even listened to it in probably 25, 30 years. So
I listened to a little bit of it.
Okay, so
I think you gave it to me a few weeks ago, and I listened to some. I'm thinking, man, this is totally different.
Yeah, especially all those metal guys in the band.
Yeah, yeah, I would think it more. It sounds more like something like Survivor or Honeymoon Suite or something.
Okay, so
yeah, weird.
All right, maybe I'll check it out too. All right.
Here's a question of timing: who released their debut album first, Led Zeppelin, Deep Purple, Black Sabbath, Trapeze, or Alice Cooper?
I'm going to say Alice Cooper.
Oh, you're close.
All right, my next guess probably would have been Deep Purple.
That is correct.
All right, so
68.
Okay.
Alice Cooper was 1969, so was Led Zeppelin, and then Black Sabbath and Trapeze were both 1970.
Oh. Yeah, I was six in 1970, so how would I remember that? I don't know.
Okay. That's because of your extensive rock knowledge.
Oh, okay. Where it came from, I don't know.
Yeah.
All right, this next one I think is pretty easy, so let's see. What do these guitar players all have in common? John Norum, George Lynch, and Reb Beach.
John Norum, Reb Beach, and who?
George Lynch.
George Lynch.
And it's a pretty simple answer.
Were they all in Winger?
Negative. They were all in docking.
Docking?
Yes. Wow. Ooh, if we got hate mail, you'd probably get some right there.
That's okay.
Wow, that shocked me. I thought for sure you'd get that one.
Well, I figured it would be more of a trick question than, you know, George Lynch being a docking.
Yeah, George Lynch was the obvious one. Red Beach played on one album, and John Norum didn't actually play on a docking album, but he did tour in the band for a little bit.
All right.
On that note, we'll go on to the next thing.
The Hard Rockin' Trivia Show is sponsored by Hard Rock Arena Radio, which features the best of the 70s and 80s hard rock and beyond 24 hours a day and can be heard on iTunes, Orange Radio, Streama, Radio.net, Shoutcast, and Radionomy.com.
Okay, people out there in podcast land, we're here with a little bit of intellectual poetry where I read the lyrics, good or bad, to a hard rock song that Danny and I probably listened to as a kid. And you guys out there can play along and see if you can guess the name of the band, the name of the song, just off the lyrics. So, sir, are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
All right, here we go. Someone said you was running round like you owned the world. It's no secret you're the talk of the town. You know, the best of the girls. What do you think?
Wow, that doesn't sound familiar at all. Is it Motley Crue?
No, it's not. Okay. A little hint. This song came out in 1981, and I know you know this album because I know you saw this band on this tour.
All right.
Because I was there with you way back when. Okay, let me see. That's right. And now you walk right out of my heart. You know it's all over town. You're so neat. You're so cute. You're so fine. You know everybody wants some action. They see you coming and they act like it's cool. Because you know there's something happening. What do you think?
Is that April Wine?
It is April Wine. What's the name of the song?
All Over Town.
Correct. Nice. Great song.
Yeah, we saw them. Meriwether Post with Frankie and the Knockouts.
Yeah, they were great.
Oh, yeah. Both big.
April Wine had a nice little, like, 3-4 year run, and then guys started leaving the band, and they just kind of went away. But I know they still tour, mostly Canada. But, yeah, they were great back then.
Yeah, I'm guessing it's just Miles Goodwin at this point.
Yeah. It's him and the Brian Greenway, I think, are the only remaining guys.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, I think there were 4-piece. But, yeah, if they ever played a club in my town, I'd go and see them again just to hear those songs live.
Absolutely.
Much bigger in Canada than they ever were here.
Yeah, that was a good band.
Yeah, so let's play a little April Wine. This is All Over Town from 1981.
On the Hard Rockin' Trivia Show. Because you notice someone have none. That's right, because you walk right out of my heart, and now it's all over town. I said you walk
The Hard Rocking Trivia Show can now be found on YouTube, so please search for us and subscribe to the channel.
once again, it's time for top three, bottom three, where we take an album or a group of albums or bands from different countries and we rank them from top three or worst three. And this week we're doing Quiet Riot's Metal Health album, which was released March 11th, 1983, and sold 6 million copies in the United States.
6 million.
And I think, and it was the first, one of the first metal albums to go number one in the United States.
USA.
All right. Okay. Now, I hadn't listened to this album in a while. We went back and listened to it, and there's some good stuff on there, and there's some not so great stuff. So there's actually 10 tracks on the original release, and I'm going to give my bottom three first and my top three. We're going to see if our lists match up and see if you... Oh, Danny's coughing over there. You all right?
Yeah, I'm good.
Oh, good. And then we're going to see if our lists match up with your list. Go ahead and play along at home if you remember this album. I'm sure you do. It sold 6 million. All right, bottom three. My number three was a song called Run for Cover.
You better get yourself running. I got a hurricane coming. No warning surprise. I'm going to take my leave. I want to grab my seed. So this shock you hold tight. Hold tight. You better run for cover.
Eh, it's okay. It's not bad, but eh, it's kind of a filler track. Number two, Breathless. Definite filler track. Could care less about this song. Not very good. And number one worst song in this album is Don't Want to Let You Go. I don't even know why they recorded this one. Awful. Terrible.
Very interesting. Okay.
Hate it. All right. Top three. Now, there's quite a few songs I like in this album. Number three, the title track, Metal Health. Good song. Classic. Actually charted. It was number 31 on the U.S. Billboard charts, if you can believe it or not. Number two, a song from their old Quiet Riot Randy Rhoads days, Slick Black Cadillac. Always liked that one. And number one, which is not the single that everybody knows, Come On Feel the Noise, my favorite song on this album is Let's Get Crazy. Still gets me. Love it. Not the Prince song, Let's Get Nuts, Let's Get Crazy. No, Quiet Riot's Let's Get Crazy. I love it. But based on Danny's laugh over there, maybe it didn't make his top three list. So what's your list, sir?
Wow. Okay. I, like you, had to go back and listen to some of these songs, and brought back some memories. Another was like, oh, I don't want to remember that. But my bottom three, the number three is Love's a Bitch. Just awful, awful lyrics and just not good.
I kind of like that song.
See, we are not in agreement on this album at all.
We're not simpatico. Okay.
My next one is Let's Get Crazy.
What?
Don't like it. It doesn't do anything.
Oh. Come on, don't you like that? Dun, 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 dun. Yeah!
No.
Okay. All right.
And then my number one, I guess because it was just overplayed, is Come On, Feel the Noise.
Come on, feel the noise. Girls, rock your voice. We'll get wild, wild, wild. Wild, wild, wild. So you think I got
I could see that.
Yeah, just because it's overplayed. I mean, it's not a terrible song. Just I don't want to hear it.
And it's a cover.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, Slade did it. You know, Slade did it fine.
Yeah, they were kind of forced to do it.
Hmm?
Actually, Quiet Riot were forced to do that song. They didn't want to do it, so they purposely played it poorly, but the record company still liked it and put it out. And it wasn't their idea. They were kind of, yeah.
All right, for my top three, my number three is Breathless.
No!
Really?
I had Metal Health in my number three spot, but then I listened to Breathless again and thought, yeah, I do like that song.
You don't have a fever or anything, do you? You feel okay?
Oh, I'm good.
All right. Good. Hearing problems?
Yeah, my number two is Run for Cover.
All right.
I like that song, too.
Wow, all right.
But at least we agree that Slick Black Cadillac is a great song. That's my number one.
Number one. Okay, so we agree on Slick Black Cadillac, and boy, we really disagree on the other ones.
Wow, that's crazy.
That's Let's Get Crazy. Let's get nuts. Hey, wow, you know what? Neither one of us picked Thunderbird either, the song that's dedicated to Randy Rhoads.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah, exactly. It's all right. I mean, okay, it's sentimental, but, you know, I didn't know Randy Rhoads. I'm sorry he died. He was a great guitar player, but...
Yeah, I got to see him with Ozzy, Meriwether Post, with Def Leppard opening, let it on the High and Dry tour.
That would have been... why didn't I go to that?
I don't know. I went with David Beck.
Ugh.
He was into that album, and I went with him. I don't know. Your dad probably didn't let you go. For some reason.
I don't know. I should have gone.
And I did see Quiet Riot live early on, but the opening band kind of blew them off stage. It was on their Condition Critical tour, and they played Irvine Meadows, and the opening band was Whitesnake, and this is what this is the John Sykes lineup of Whitesnake with Neil Murray and Cozy Powell, and they just blew Quiet Riot off the stage.
Absolutely,
and I like Quiet Riot, but this one they had that "Stomp Your Hands and Clap Your Feet" song. I was like, oh come on, guys, and it was over.
See, I like the Paul Sorrentino version of Quiet Riot. That QR3 is a great album.
Yeah, that's when they infused those keyboards in there. It's a couple of good songs, but
that's my favorite Quiet Riot album.
I thought your favorite Quiet Riot album was with the one with Paul Sorrentino. That's not QR3.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not. It's the self-titled albums with Sorrentino. QR3 is with The Wild and the Young. That's when Kevin DeBro came back and he's got that bad wig on.
Oh, that was awful.
Yeah, that album's not good, but you've always professed your love for that Sorrentino album.
Yeah, it's great.
Is that album better than Mental Health?
Songs ever.
So you're saying that album is better than Mental Health?
Yeah.
Well, you're wrong.
Well, I know that sales are probably not even close, but...
No, not even close. That's like if Alabama plays William and Mary. We know it's going to happen.
You know, Virginia Tech plays Delaware next year.
Really? Where? Virginia Tech?
Yeah.
Oof.
We're going down. The first, on my birthday, Tech plays West Virginia at the Redskins Stadium in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
The next weekend, Delaware travels down to Virginia Tech.
And if Delaware wins, your daughter's going to talk so much crap to you because Danny's daughter went to Delaware and Danny went to Virginia Tech. But I don't see it happening.
Well, I got a master's at Delaware, so I got a...
Oh, so if Delaware does crush them, you won't feel so bad.
Well, yeah, I that would never happen, but I will feel bad because I'm a total Tech fan, so...
Yeah, okay, well, let's cut it break. How did this turn into Tech football talk?
I don't know, but it's hard to be.
Well, let's get it back to... Okay, so if you like any... Check out these songs from Mental Health. See if Danny's right or I'm right. I mean, we're definitely polar opposites on this album. But the album overall, you know, some of the songs are good. Some of them are dated. But it did sell 6 million, so check it out.